I want to encourage you that the word that you have in your mouth is life. Amen? The word that you have that is written here, the one that God has placed there, it's life to those who find it. And I want to encourage you to be the ones that sow it. Because when you open your mouth and proclaim his word, life changes. For those that, I don't think I shared it with everyone. Pastor Laith, who you all met, he's one that is from Iraq. He's got a church over there, the largest church in northern Iraq now. And he had a gentleman come up from Baghdad. Now, Baghdad is southern Iraq, and Kurdistan is northern Iraq. And in Kurdistan, it's pretty free to preach Christ. There's still a lot of Muslims, and there's still a lot of trouble there, but nothing like southern Iraq. Down in Baghdad, it's brutal. You know, there's still rockets being fired and that kind of stuff. So, but one gentleman came up from Baghdad, and he came up to Pastor Laith, and he said, "Tell me about this Jesus." He said, "I came up here because I want to know if it's the truth." So Pastor Laith sat with him for a day or two and preached Christ to him. He led him to Jesus Christ, and the guy got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he went back to Baghdad. And 2 weeks later, he called up Pastor Laith. He said, "Pastor Laith, you need to come to Baghdad." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I've got 30 Muslims that want to hear about Jesus Christ." Can I tell you one person? This is why it's imperative that each of us take time for one person. 30 of them were Arabs and 30 of them were Kurds. Now, the difference is the Arabs don't like the Kurds and they hate the Kurds. You know why? Because they're not Arabs. You think there's problems in America? They hate them. So they called up Pastor Laith. Pastor Laith said, "Yep, I'll be there." He goes down to Baghdad, and the only ones that showed up, only the 15 Arabs showed up, because the Kurds figured it was a trap to kill them because they wanted to know about Jesus Christ. So Pastor Laith led all 15 Arabs to Christ down in Baghdad, a place where they said it isn't going to happen. And now he set up another time to go back down and meet with the Kurds, and he's going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, because one person came and asked one question, and then one man said, "This is who Jesus Christ is." And a man went back empowered with his life changed and said, "Hey, you got to come down here because there's 30 more men that don't know who they are. And they want to know about this Jesus Christ." I want to encourage you, talk to one person this week. If you don't do anything else, if you don't go to your job, I don't care. I don't care if your bills get paid. That's between you and your landlord or whoever you owe. But if you'll tell one person this week and you'll allow them into your home, you'll allow them into your life and share the love of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God with one person, they'll be calling you and saying, "Hey, I got some more." Because the power of God changes a life and a heart, and it wants to express itself. Amen? It wants to express itself. And these guys, look at, there's not a whole lot of hope, and we know that. There's only hope is in Jesus Christ. So that's number one. Number two, the Knights of Columbus. I was there on Wednesday night, and the Knights of Columbus, they're from the Catholic Church, and these guys have the order, you know, and then there's the Supreme Knights of Columbus, which are the guys above them. And so they said, can you guys grab the offering baskets again? Sorry. Find something, a hat, I don't care, take off your jackets, whatever. But what they want to do is they want to raise money for an ultrasound machine for the Alight in Catskill. We have one here, but here we have these guys. They're walk with the Catholic Church, and they said, "Listen, we want to be a part of this. We want to know, how can we serve the Alight Pregnancy Center?" How beautiful is that? And the way that it works is the Supreme Knights of Columbus, whoever they are, I don't know how you make it to this. I know who the Supremes were, because they could sing, but I don't know who the Knights of Columbus are that are supreme. But stop it right now, because I know, baby, you got it. But so they said, if the Knights of Columbus here raise $17,000, because the machine is $34,000, they said, if you raise $17,000, the Knights of Columbus Supreme will give them the other $17,000. And they said, "Hey, would you guys want to be a part of that?" I said, "Well, let's see." Because you know what they say? I don't know what the stats are, if you remember, Jeremy or Bren. If a young girl sees her baby, the difference in keeping it jumps astronomically. Amen? And so we want to do whatever we can, because there's already one in Hudson that they're using, and now we want to put one over there in Catskill. We want to branch out and broaden what God is already doing. Amen? So these guys are up here. We're just going to pray quickly. And then whatever you want to sow, again, they're reaching out to all of their contacts. Of course, these guys are an older generation. So they said, you know, we need to put it on. We need to start a GoFundMe page. Does anybody know how? And everybody just looked there around the table. There's like 12 of them. Not one guy. He said, do we even have a Facebook page for the Knights? Yeah. Some guy built one about 6 years ago. I don't know where it is. And so they're behind the curve when it comes to technology, but their hearts are ahead of the curve because they want to give to what God is doing. Amen. I want you to know it's imperative that you take an opportunity, whoever comes to your house. Me and my son were at the house the other Friday night. Now, normally me and Jamaica are never home by ourselves at our house. And everybody else was gone. We're just sitting having dinner together. And then this knock at the door, and I said, come on in. I don't know who it was. And it was an insurance salesman. He was 20 years old. He'd come on Monday, and he'd asked about supplemental income or insurance. And I said, well, just give me a call later on in the week. And I said, he came in the door. I said, Patrick, I told you to give me a call. He said, yeah, I know, I forgot you. I lost your number, so I had to just stop in. I had no other way of contacting you. I don't know if it's a salesman's pitch or whatever it is. But I said, well, all right, come on in. You might as well explain it to my son because I've already heard your spiel. Go ahead and sit down at the table and talk with him. So he sat down. He talked with Jamaica about getting insurance, combined life, whatever it was. And he's talking to him and stuff. And so then after we got done with that, I looked at him and I just said, you know, do you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to the Catholic Church and I go to Grace Fellowship. Okay. So one's ritual and one's to learn something, right? Because sometimes it's hard to break away from that past and those rituals, isn't it? I've got a lot of Catholic friends that say, you know, I just love the traditions, you know, and some people are so caught up in tradition that they're missing what God has for them. And so I said, I don't care what if he goes to the Catholic Church and the other one, doesn't matter. And we just started talking to him about the things of God. And you know, by the time we got into it, telling him just who he was in Christ and how wonderful God is and the plan that God has and the relationship that God wants him to have with a young lady one day, he just starts crying at the table. He's standing there, he's sitting there, and he's trying to hold it. He's like, and you ever try to do that? Concentrate so hard because you don't want to look weak. And then it just broke. And there's this 20-year-old boy just crying at the table to the point I had to go get toilet paper because I couldn't find no tissues. We're out, by the way. And so he's wiping his face with the toilet paper and the paper sticking all over his face. And it didn't matter. But by the time we got done, he goes, you have no idea. What you guys have done for me is so much more than anything I could ever brought here to your house. He said, thank you. And then Jamaica helped him with downloading the YouVersion of the Bible onto his phone. And he's going to start reading the verses of the day, start reading in the book of John. And he just cried for like a half an hour sitting at a table. I just want you to know, if a salesman comes into your house, don't get frustrated. Just get them saved. They're there. They're not going to walk out. You own them. They came to your house and it's your rules. Amen? Your time could never be spent any better than witnessing to one person in your house until they hear it all. And by the time, and just start asking questions. Because the questions is what changed that young boy's life. And really looking forward to meeting Patrick again. Hopefully he comes down one day and visits us here and watch and see what God does. But I want to encourage you, one person this week, one time this week, you share the love of God with somebody. Plan it, strategize. Honey, you keep the kids. The next time, honey, you keep the kids and swap out. This is my time to go find the one, and I want to spend time in prayer or invite one over. If the church would do what the Word of God said, it grows exponentially. Amen? And we're snatching people out of darkness and bringing them to His marvelous light. And that's what we want to do. We don't want them walking around in darkness. So this morning, as we look at the Word of God, you know, just that word that just keeps on running over and over and over in my mind, just enjoy me, the word that God gave me. If you turn to your Bibles and you look in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to go to 15 and 16. And we're going to read these scriptures, and then we're going to get into it. Can we just rejoice? With kids in the house of God. Hey, don't worry. They act the same way. Don't worry. They do the same thing, buddy. Welcome. Omar didn't have to teach him that, you know. That's in there in each one of us, isn't it? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ in here this morning, you have been justified by faith. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm justified by faith. All right. We have peace with God. Tell your neighbor, say, I am at peace and I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, through whom also we have access by what? By faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope, the hope of glory. And verses 15 and 16, it says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your loving kindness. I thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that your word, it's sharp, it's powerful. Lord, your word transformed our lives. Your word renews our minds. Your word strengthens each and every one of us. Your word causes us to be overcomers. Your word causes us to run through a troop and jump over a wall. Your word causes us to go to the four corners of the world. Your word causes us to speak up in a place where the very love of God is barely tolerated. And yet when we speak your words, lives are changed by the power of your love. Thank you, Father, for using us mightily to change men's hearts so they would find who the Creator is. Their lives would be transformed and they would be strengthened in you. And they would live a life worth living, as your word says that life is knowing Jesus Christ. Father, that each one that comes through these doors, each one that we come in contact with, they would all find the Christ, the living God. He who was and is to come, the one who was martyred, who was crucified, who was buried and rose again on the third day. They would find that Christ who's seated at the right hand of the Father, the only true and living God. Thank you for allowing us to be those vessels of honor, used by the King of glory to proclaim your name in all the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the focus this morning I really want to talk about is that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. One of the things, if you're not going to stand in grace, you're going to get into the law. One of the two ways, you're either going to stand in grace or you're going to be consumed by doing it all right or try to do it all right. Tell your neighbor, say, you'll never do it all right. So we're going to have to stand in his grace. Amen. We can't move from it. He didn't say run out of his grace, run through his grace. He didn't say put grace aside sometimes. He said we're going to have to stand in that grace. We're going to have to stand because that grace was given to us by faith because of the love of God. Amen. And if we do anything outside of love, we've missed the mark. As he said, the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, say, love you. Tell your other neighbor, say, love you. Tell the person behind you, oh yeah, I got love for you too. See, because whatever is not done in love is not of God, because God is love. So everything that we are has to be done from a place of love. We didn't witness to that kid sitting at the table because we just felt sorry for him. We did it because I fell in love with the Lord and I want everybody to hear about him. That's it. Pastor Lath isn't preaching Jesus Christ in one of the most tumultuous countries on the planet because he's a nice guy. He did it because the love of God changed his life from being a Muslim to finding out who Jesus is and being liberated in everything that he has. Amen? And so it's got to be done by love. A different translation of verses 15 and 16, it says, now there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift that we experience. For the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. Ah, isn't that good news? God's grace outweighs every one of your crimes. You were a criminal, weren't you? Oh, I never killed anybody, man. I wasn't bad. If that's the standard, we got problems. We were all criminals because we've all done things that were wrong, that were unrighteous, that were ungodly. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us were a criminal. But no matter how bad of a criminal you were, His grace is enough. Amen? His grace was enough to wash you and cleanse you. His love was enough to transform you. Goes on to say, it's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and His gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus, the Messiah, did for us. Verse 16, and this free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. For because of one transgression, we are all facing a death sentence and with a verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the words, not guilty. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not guilty. Tell your other neighbor, you're not guilty. If you know Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're here this morning, you're guilty. The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ, or life eternal through Jesus Christ. That's right. And so as we look at it in Christ, we have a great freedom. And we are justified by faith. Amen? Just as if you've never sinned. We're going to have to stand in this grace. I'm telling you, if we get outside of the grace of God, we start to destroy what God wanted to build. Because God's love, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5? It says, love does not seek its own, right? Love does not seek it. We know when we get into the law, because we start to try to do enough to earn. You'll never earn your righteousness. You'll never do enough to pay for your sins. It'll never happen. Only by His grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, do we earn our salvation. Amen? Love does not seek its own. We know if we're walking in sin when we only seek our own. We know when we're outside of grace, when the only thing we care about is me. How many people have hidden some in the kitchen? I'm good. I mean, years ago, there was a person here. No, Pastor, I'm just going to be in the kitchen. I'm good in the kitchen. Yes, you can hide in the kitchen. Hide away from what God's called you to do, because we all want to hide inside of our natural strengths, don't we? We find out what our strength is. We find out where someone says, hey, you're good at that. Am I? Ooh, baby, I'm going to stay right here. Yeah, but I need you to pray for it. Oh, no, Pastor, my strength is right here in the kitchen. My strength is being in my garage. My strength is my hair, my beauty parlor, whatever it is where we hide in that as a natural man or a natural woman, we hide and we only think about us. This is where the church has been for a while. The church has been there for a while, but love does not seek its own. Therefore, everything that God gives us is for what purpose? For His kingdom. Because if we're only thinking about us, if we're latched on to what I want for myself, we're outside of God's grace. What happens when we start getting a fixed or trying to just accumulate things for ourselves or have it my way? What happens there? We stop walking by love. Love starts to diminish slowly in our lives. And then we stop having time for everybody else. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time for the word. We don't have time for neighbors. We don't have time to go on a mission trip. We don't have time for anything. When love starts to seek itself, or when people start to seek themselves and what we want, and we start to seek our own, we get outside of the grace of God. Because everything that God has given us is to be given for the kingdom and the expanse of the kingdom. Amen? Your gift, if it stays dormant, if it stays in a kitchen, stirring food. Listen, a lot of people's lives are changed by food. I know mine has been. But I guarantee you, it wasn't the food alone that changed my life. It's the word of God. It's the love of God that changed my life. Food only changed my life for a moment. Some of them moments lasted a while. A couple of days. But if we're going to walk by grace through faith in the Lord of Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not going to be able, we are not going to be able to just seek our own. If we're seeking our own, we're outside of what God wanted. And the freedom that we're living in is not really freedom. We're not. We've stepped out of the freedom that God wants. Why? Because we're starting to hang on to what we got. And I want to be careful. Because we've only got one shot at this. We've got one shot. I know my mom and dad, they've lost a couple of friends recently. And you know, everything that they did was done. Everything they did. We've all lost people. We've all lost friends, family members, whatever it is. And you know what? Their life is over the minute they close their eyes. They're going to do nothing else on the planet for the kingdom of God. But then we're going to stand before the Father. And I don't want anyone here standing before the Father and say, nobody ever told me that I couldn't just run after everything I wanted to do and do whatever I felt like doing, whatever pleased me, and gather everything unto myself and live a life without the love for those that are lost. We're going to have to be those. If we're going to walk by grace, then we're going to have to be careful, because love does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. And we've got to be very careful with that. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and the free gift is not like the offense. Oh, the free gift is nothing like the offense. Isn't it so easy to understand and agree with the offense? Isn't it so easy to agree with the enemy when he comes and he lies to you? Right? You didn't read enough. You didn't pray enough. Isn't it easy to agree with him? You're a failure. Hey, look at that. You've ruined everything. You've never amounted to anything. You never will. Your time is past. You've been in Christ too long and your time is over. So you might just well do whatever you want to do. How easy is it to agree with the offense? Somebody said, hey, you're a loser. Oh, I know it. It's easy to agree with that. Simple. Yeah, well, what do you want me to tell you? I've heard that a million times. Yeah, well, listen, brother, you're not quite good enough. Sister, you're not quite good enough to make the team. Yeah, I knew it. I knew. I've heard that my whole life. Why is it so easy to agree with that and so hard to agree with grace? Why is it so easy to agree with the fall rather than the victory? Why is it so easy to agree that whatever you have put your hands to is always going to turn to a mess? Why is it so easy to agree with that? Is it a way that we just escape? Well, that's easy, because then I don't have to worry about trying to be a success. I can just, yep, doesn't matter. I agree with everybody else. How easy is it to agree with the transgressions in our lives and allow them to dictate our future? Isn't it amazing how the flesh just starts to agree with that? Some people, because we stumble and we fall in several times in the same area, say, well, what's the use? What's the use? You know what? I'll just try to do the best I can. We've just removed grace from our lives. Why is it so easy to agree with the failures in our lives and so hard to agree with the victory through Jesus Christ? I want you to know that the gift of grace is greater than the offense. It is nothing like the offense. And through one man, sin came into the world. But I want you to know, the grace that God has for you is so much greater than any offense you've ever had. The guilty verdict that you've been living under, God said, I'm washing that all the way. And my grace, where I'm going to bring you, it changes every thought in your head. It changes every motive in your heart. And it removes the doubt from your mind, if you'll agree with me. But you're going to have to say what my word says. You're going to have to. You're going to have to agree with what I see in you, what I placed in there before you were ever born, what I spoke over you before you ever were conceived. You're going to have to start to agree with me rather than what you did. Oh, what we did was so infantile, wasn't it? Wasn't it foolish? How many times did we do just stupid little things before we were saved? Okay, how about after we were saved? And we stepped out of that grace. And we started to even believe sometimes, this is as good as it gets. This is hard. We've stepped out of grace and we went back into the law. And we've been trying to earn now. Well, if I can just get back to, wait a minute, you didn't fall out of grace. You just denied grace. because his grace is enough. Amen. He didn't say, I'm going to leave you the minute you make a mistake. He said, my grace is enough in every situation. And every time that you say you're guilty, he said, not guilty. You say, yes, I am. No, not guilty. And we have arguments with God. Maybe it doesn't, you don't verbalize it like that, but that's the reality of it. You say, I knew it. He said, not guilty. Lord, I stumbled again. Not guilty. Lord, I'm a failure. Not guilty. Lord, I've ruined everything. Not guilty. Because everything that you put your hands to, everything that you put your hands to in the past, God's a rebuilder, a restorer, and a rewarder. Amen? He starts to change everything in our lives when we step back in grace. Oh, the grace is nothing. What God has for you is nothing like what you have walked through. And even the things that you have experienced, even those utopian times or the life-transforming times, can I tell you, his grace is still greater, and he has something greater than what you've ever experienced so far. Yeah. He's got more. He's the God of more. What do leaders see? More. Amen. Right? Some people sit there and they see less. Who wants to follow somebody that says, I see less? What do you see? I don't see anything. Oh, you're the guy I want to follow. Where do you see us in a year from now? I don't even see you in a year from now. I see me by myself watching my TV just like I did last year. That's the guy I want. Oh, impart that to me, baby. Who wants to follow that? We want to follow people that agree with more. Amen? That see more. And I believe that God wants to show you more of his grace. That's what this year is about, stepping into that place of greater understanding of his love so you can see more of what he's about to do. First of all, in you, and then through you. Because you have to make a decision. Is this grace going to be what guides me, or my failure is going to be my life? Is what I've done going to determine who I am, or what he has done going to determine who I am? One offense brought condemnation, but the free gift brought justification. Look, there's no comparison between the transgression and the gift, and we said that. The Holy Spirit is always going to remind you of the grace that you're walking in. The Holy Spirit isn't going to come and condemn you. He's going to convict the world. Oh, he'll bring conviction. You know, he'll bring conviction at times. Hey, you were supposed to add another zero on that check for that ultrasound machine. Holy Spirit will bring that conviction. Can I encourage you? Listen to the Holy Spirit. All right? Just go back. Just write out another one. Don't worry about it. But the Holy Spirit is always going to convict us. He's never going to condemn us. We do enough of that on our own, don't we? We condemn ourselves all the time. Stop it! Just stop condemning yourself. You're not allowed to, because you're a child of the King. And therefore, you're no longer allowed to condemn what God has said has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You can no longer say what God has created is less than what he has already spoken over your life. You cannot speak that any longer. You have to agree with what he said. His grace is sufficient. Yes. And you are not guilty. Tell your neighbors, I'm not guilty. Some people came in here and you felt guilty. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what my marriage looks like. You know what my children look like. You know what my checkbook looks like. You know what my people at the job look like. You don't understand how I've acted. God said, yes, I do. But you're not guilty because of the blood of the Lamb. Now, I don't want you to keep going down that road. I want you to change. And I'm going to help change you by the conviction of the Spirit of God, because he's going to tell you, let's not do that again. Let's just drive past OTB this time and not stop in with your tithe check. Let's just drive past OTB and not waste your grocery money once again. Let's go past Stewart's and not buy a lottery ticket. Exactly. Let's do things a little bit different. When someone snaps, let's not snap back this time. Well, let's just practice on that one for the week. Just because somebody else snaps does not give you a right to snap back. You don't have a right. Because no matter what they said, you're not guilty. Amen? No matter how mad they get, just because they're mad doesn't mean you're guilty and you're a complete failure. But how many times do people take what somebody else says and they condemn themselves so quickly that they got to try to survive, so I have to win the argument? We've already won through the blood of Christ. We've already won by grace. Now, if you're wrong, you need to repent. How about we practice that one? Just tell your neighbor, say, I'm sorry. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm sorry. Tell the one behind you, I repent. All right. Listen, it doesn't mean you're sorry, okay? But it means you apologize, because you're not sorry, you're victorious. But practicing it helps, doesn't it? For some, that's the first time you said you're sorry in years. Some didn't even say it this morning. I know you think you are. I ain't saying it, because I'm not sorry. Well, you are sorry if you didn't say it. I just want to say that, all right? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what? His grace. According to the riches of his grace. His grace is rich. It's rich. And when we walk, when love does not seek its own, and we walk in that grace that God has given us, that all it is taking what he has given, and we pour it out upon those that are around us, and we don't try to hang on to everything. We find freedom, and we get to go places that we never thought. Amen. We get to go in people's houses that they've never let anybody in. We get allowed into people's hearts, and sometimes a place where nobody else has ever been. God will allow you to go places when love doesn't seek its own, and we walk by that grace. Grace forgives you. Grace forgives you. Amen. Grace forgives you. The question is, can you forgive you? Yeah. Can you forgive you? Can you stop blaming everybody else around you for what's happened in your life? Can you finally forgive you through the power of the love of God, so that you don't see you the way that you did yesterday? Can we get to a place where you forgive you, and then you stop beating yourself up early in the morning and late at night? Because if you beat yourself up, you're going to beat everybody else up. Grace says he who began a good work is able to complete it. Amen? Grace says all things become possible because we believe. Grace says I stand in a place of loving kindness in the presence of the King. Everything I put my hands to shall prosper. Grace says unparalleled favor every day of our lives. Looking at the day from a place of love and acceptance. Looking at the day. When you arise in the morning, a day of love and acceptance. His love for you is extravagant. Yes. And we sing that song. And if we don't look at it from a love affair, we're going to look at it from a legalistic way of trying to earn it. You're going to have to agree that I got to stand in grace and receive my Father's love. Understand that by that blood, my sins were washed away. They were forgiven. And now I have a freedom to proclaim Jesus Christ, not based on what I've done, but based on what he has done. Now I can speak it, even though I don't have it all worked out. I can still speak the truth, even though I don't do it all right. I can still proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ by his grace because of the work that he has already begun inside of me. Not based on what I have done today, but based on what he has done 2,000 years ago. Looking at each person with understanding of who you are according to the word and wanting that for them. Looking at each person and agreeing with who God said you are. Tell your neighbor, say, God said, I'm victorious. And I am. See, the difference is what God said and what you said. God said, I'm victorious, and a lot of people have heard that from this pulpit for years, but not many, I shouldn't say not many, but many won't agree with me because of what you see. But I believe that what God wants to do is something phenomenal in your life. When we look at the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 33, it says, with great power the apostles gave witness. Tell your neighbor, I'm a witness. To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon how many?
All.
Great grace was upon how many?
All.
Good. Tell your neighbor, say, great grace is upon you. See, the reality is you have great grace upon you, whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. Whether you believe it or not is up to you, but you have great grace upon you. No different than the disciples did. They had great grace poured out upon them. We sang that song, sin has no hold on me, because your grace holds me now. Oh, his grace is beautiful. Your grace holds me now. Sometimes we can't get up. Sometimes we can't stand on our own. But his grace comes and he holds us. Sometimes my marriage went through some really foolish chapters. And yet God's grace would hold. Even when it seemed hopeless, God's grace still holds. We've watched time and again in situations where that grace would come and stand us up and guide us until once again we started to agree with what his word said, rather what our experience has been giving us or speaking to us. Christ is the means by which God manifests God's righteousness and claims within it. God's grace is what keeps us righteous. Amen? It's God's grace, it's God's mercy, and it's only by faith that we walk in righteousness also, right? We have to receive that righteousness by faith, just like we receive grace by faith. So that right standing that you have with God means that you can stand before God and open up your eyes, and you can speak to him as a man speaks to a friend, as a child speaks to his father, as one stands there guilt-free. No longer looking down, no longer worried, no longer afraid, no longer wondering if I'm going to be accepted. You've been accepted by his grace because you said, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm turning and I'm not living my life. I'm not trying to grab a hold of everything I can get for me to become something. A title over your name just because they don't call you sir. You didn't get knighted in England. Sir James Monahan. Sorry, he doesn't have that title. He never will, probably. I don't know. You ever been to England, Jim? Yeah, well, all right. Maybe you will then, Jim. But your title that man gives, that man puts upon you, that men say, means nothing compared to the title that the Father gave you. Because the title he gave you was son or daughter of God. There's no higher title. There's no greater gift. There's no way that he can show his grace in a greater way than to call you his own and say, come and walk with me. Because you're not guilty any longer of anything that you have done before today. And I'm going to wash you continually all the way through. As you keep your eyes on me, as you abide in me, and my word abides in you, I'm going to walk with you all the way through, and you're not going to be guilty. And every time that the enemy comes, the one who is the accuser of the brethren, he's going to come and try to accuse you before me. I'm going to look and say, they're not guilty. Stop coming. Don't bother. I already made a show of you openly. Your sham authority has been destroyed before all mankind. Yes. Yes. Now, if they'll agree with me, they'll walk in the victory. The enemy doesn't have any authority over you. Why did Jesus walk so strong? I was talking with Pastor Romano earlier. Why is it that Jesus could walk up to Lazarus's grave knowing that death was there? He'd been dead for days, and he could stand there and say, boys, roll away the stone. He didn't have any doubts. Why? Because he was righteous. He understood who he was and what God gave him the authority to do. And this is where the church needs to get to, who you are and the authority he gave you to do. Because I expect everyone in here to be able to walk up to Lazarus's grave and say, hey, boys, roll the stone away. Y'all ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on. Lazarus, come forth. And not expect anything else except for Lazarus to come forth. Why? Because he understood. He was walking in righteousness. You know what sin does? Sin makes cowards out of every man and woman in this room. That's what he does. Sin makes a coward out of us all. But when you're not focused on your sin or the transgression, because the gift is greater than the transgression, amen? Your grace upon your life, the grace that God has bestowed upon everyone that believes in him, is greater than all the sins that you ever had. But if you look at the sin, you become a coward. You look at the sin, you look at your weaknesses, you look at your failures, you look at you all the time. We become cowards. Hey, brother, I need you to preach. Oh, not me, man. That's not my job. Hey, why don't you go back there and give a word of prophecy? What? Not me. Coward. Hey, how about you go down there and work with the 4-year-olds? Oh, brother, they intimidate me. I've heard this. Sin always makes us cowards. Righteousness makes us bold as a lion. When we grab a hold of who we are, wait a minute, I'm not guilty any longer. All power and authority has been given to me through Jesus Christ. He strengthens me. He walks with me. He meets with me. He hears and answers my cry. I am righteous in the eyes of God. The grace of God is greater than any transgression I've ever made. And I'm going to walk in the love of God. I'm not going to seek my own. Oh, you become bold as a lion. And then they say, hey, listen, we're going around the world. That's good. I'm in. Where are we going? Who cares where we're going? All right, I'm in anyway. But the minute we start looking at our sin, it saps our strength. It saps our confidence. We start looking at our failures and we start to draw back. We got to get right first. I want you to know he made you right. I want you to know if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you're right now. You're strong right now. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm strong. In the Lord. See, with him all things are possible. It's not based on what you have done. Jesus was at perfect peace in the midst of every situation because of the righteousness that he walked in, because he didn't discuss, or he didn't doubt who he was. Stop doubting who you are. Do not doubt who you are. When the lie comes, you say, I'm a child of God. When the lie comes, you say, I am victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. When the lie comes, you remind the lie, the gift was greater than the transgression. And I'll walk in my freedom. I'll walk with the joy of the Lord because my strength gets stronger. When I walk in the joy of the Lord, I get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know what makes you weaker, weaker, and weaker? When you try to walk, when you get out of bed and you start complaining about everybody else on the planet. Heaven forbid we wake up and complain about somebody else before we leave the bedroom. Even if it's only in your mind. Because you might complain about 50 people before you leave the bedroom. Your mind starts to wander, oh, if he only did this, if she only did that, man, I'm telling you, if that just, ooh, I'm so sick of this. And let me tell you something, if that one would just, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. I can tell by your laughing, you've been there too. Because it's so true. That each one of us have gone into our mind at different times and we've looked at another human being. Tell your neighbor, say, stop looking at me. Yeah. Larry, stop looking at me. You're not? Well, all right, that's good. All the way to the cross, right, Larry? All right, Smiley. You see, the issue is we don't look at one another. I'm not trying to draw strength from you. I'm drawing strength from him. Therefore, even if we don't agree, I'm still going to walk strong in the Lord because I agree that the gift is greater than the transgression. The one that brought sin into the world, oh, how much greater is Jesus Christ that comes and forgives sin? How much greater is he that comes and walks alongside of you? How much greater is it to know that his love is never ending towards you, that his mercy is brand new every morning? How much easier is it to walk through life, stop complaining about others, and just agreeing with what he said? Every week, if we could just stop complaining about someone else just a little bit more each week. We can't expect you to go through the whole week without complaining. You're Americans. All right? You're going to find something to complain about. Doesn't matter what it is. You'll find something. Oh, I wanted crunchy peanut butter, not smooth. I wanted grape jelly, not strawberry. You'll find something to complain about, won't you? Just look at your neighbor. Just look at him quickly. Come on, look at him. Yeah. Look, you've already given him an opportunity to complain about you. Just by the way you looked at them. Because some of you looked at him and went, and also, oh, see, you're rejecting me. See that? Why did you tell me, Pastor, to even look at them? Look at, they don't even like me. So? Doesn't matter if they don't like you. Jesus is madly in love with you. Amen? Amen? See, the way that they looked at you, now I ain't coming back to this church. I'm done. You saw that person three rows over looked at me and went, ooh. I'm done. That's all it takes for complaining in our minds, and we build a whole scenario sometime, don't we? Sure. The grace... The gift is greater than the transgression. Tell your neighbor, say, I forgive you of all your transgressions. Towards me. Yeah. I forgive you of them all. And so we got to start with a clean slate this morning. That the grace, the gift of grace is greater than the transgression. No matter what anybody else in this room has done, the gift of God inside of you is greater than what they've done to you. It's definitely greater. It's phenomenally great. It's so much greater that we can't even express it. How much greater the grace is. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of what? Of God. Tell your neighbors, I am the righteousness of God. In him. You are righteous in him. In him, you have been made the righteousness of who? Of God. Oh my goodness. Do you know what you just said? Is there any unrighteousness in God? Is there any shadow of turning in him? Has he ever made a mistake? No. Does he love every single person? Absolutely. It's his desire that none perish but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, if you make your head in your bed in heaven, his love is there. If you make it in Hades, his love is there. So his love is always there. Therefore now, because of his righteousness that lives on the inside of you, you've got enough love for everybody you come in contact with. Tell your neighbors, say, I don't lack no love. Tell your other neighbors, I got lots of love for you, baby. All right. When we are God conscious, we walk with great confidence in every situation. When you're God conscious, the minute you get your eyes off of God, things start to change. But when we're God conscious, when we understand God's righteousness in our lives, that he has made all things new, at that moment, I become more confident. The more God conscious I am, the more the gift of God is stirred up on the inside. The more God conscious I am, the greater the effect is on people's lives around me for the good. The more God conscious I am, the less world conscious I am. The more I understand the righteousness that I walk in, and it's the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Oh, he has done nothing wrong. As he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you as not guilty. How beautiful is that? You're not guilty of all those abominable things that we've been a part of. You see, when we walk in the righteousness of God, we speak to the demons and say, get out, and they surrender to us. They're submitted to the authority because he has given us that right. What do they call that? The attorney. Power of attorney. We've been given the power of attorney through Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. And every other spiritual entity on the planet has to obey us because of the righteousness that we walk in, which is God in Christ. The power that we walk in. But most people are afraid. If a demon-possessed person came running in here, just jumping all over the place, yelling and screaming, there'd be about four of us left in the church. People be running and screaming, I'm out, I'm out. The devil's in that church. Yeah, he came in with a whole bunch of people. But we have the ability to cast them out, amen? See, because when you walk in righteousness, you don't fear what the enemy says. And when you wake up in the morning and the doctor says, hey, you're done because of a disease, you say, wait a minute, you don't understand the righteousness I walk in. And it always gets quiet at that point because we've all experienced something that didn't happen. Yeah, that's right. But I want you to know there's no problem with righteousness. That's right. There's no problem with power in Jesus yeah. Christ. There's no problem with the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. The only issue is where we're going to stand. Amen? And what's going to be our truth? Your circumstances are going to change. But I want you to know that grace, we're going to have to stand in it. And that gift of grace is greater. It's greater. It's greater than every trial, than every tribulation. It's greater than every situation you've ever been in. It's greater than every problem you've ever had. The grace of God is greater. And if we'll walk through in the name of Jesus Christ, understanding I'm righteous, Therefore, my sins have been forgiven and I'm not guilty. I'm righteous. Therefore, I'm free to love my God and to be in love with my God and to rejoice in my God. I'm free to enjoy God every moment of the day. No longer looking at man to fulfill or another place to try to complete, but I'm looking to my God who fulfills me in his love, for his love is enough. His love is enough. When I know that I'm loved by God, it makes me strong. When I stand in the love of God, it makes me strong. It's when I doubt that I get weak. It's when I start to wander in my mind, well, what if or but, instead of just agreeing, no, my God loves me. My God adores me. My God made a way for me. My God walks with me, because sin makes us cowards, and I'm done being a coward. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm done agreeing with the sin. I'm done agreeing with the lie of the enemy. Because if, you know, what pleases God is faith. And therefore, we're going to have to stand in faith according to the word of God. So that grace holds us now. Amen? Let's stand up this morning.